Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter number 3 this morning. Acts chapter number 3. And a wonderful service we've had so far. We've come to the most important part, that of the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And this morning, look at Acts chapter 3, and we're looking at verse number 19, and something that is essential and important in every single person's life. And something that is sometimes often misunderstood today, and we hear a lot of different things said about it, but we're going to be looking at repentance this morning, looking at repentance and what God's Word has to say about it and why it's necessary in every Christian's life, also how it is necessary to become a Christian, to be saved. We looked at this morning, we sang about Jesus. I love that song. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. We have what a wonderful Savior who shed His blood and died on the cross to pay for our sin. And this morning, we're going to look at two types of repentance this morning, and we're going to look at that in Acts chapter number 3. If we could all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19 this morning. And God's Word says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we're so thankful. We've had such a joyous service already. We thank you for the update from Brother Davis. We thank you for the wonderful singing today. And Lord, we praise you for the two baptisms to follow. We praise you and we thank you for all that you're doing. You're working, dear Lord, and we can see it. And I pray that you would work in hearts this morning. For Lord, repentance is so essential. It is so important and not forgotten today. And I pray that we would look at your word and we would see your instruction. And Lord, if any here today, they are not saved. They are not sure if something happened to them right now that they would go to heaven. They're not sure about that. I pray that this morning they would listen closely and that they could walk away today knowing for sure that they're on their way to heaven by coming to you with a heart full of repentance and calling upon you to save them. Lord, I also pray for the Christian that perhaps has something lurking in their life, perhaps something in their heart. And Lord, to be restored to you, they must have a repentant heart. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would instruct us, challenge us, dear Lord, and help us to increase in our knowledge, but also to not only be a hearer only, but to be a doer of your word. I pray that you will bless us as we continue this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And a message entitled, Repentance from the Heart. Repentance from the Heart. And that's what repentance is. It is something that has to do with the heart. We're going to look at two areas of repentance, two groups of people, and two types of repentance this morning. In Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, this is a sermon by the Apostle Peter and how he was presenting something to them, and we see in verse, begins in verse number 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" So let's pause for a moment. That Peter had just wrought a miracle through the power of God, that a man that could not walk was lame man. He was healed. But now he is preaching a sermon. This is his second sermon that he preaches here. In verse number 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Jesus hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now this morning we're going to look at what does repentance mean? What does repentance mean? You hear some different definitions of it, but repentance is simply this, means a change in direction. A change in direction, a change of mind that results in a change of direction. To repent of something is to change your mind about something. And right here, Peter is urging the children of Israel, the men of Israel, those that were there, to change their mind about something. To change in their mind about a decision they had made as a people and a direction that they were going in that was going to lead to an evil end, that was going to lead to their destruction. And right here we see that Peter is bringing to them to a place of decision. They have to change their mind about something, but it's not just a change of mind. It is a change of mind that results in a change of action. And so first we're going to look at this morning the repentance of the sinner. The repentance of the sinner. Someone who is lost and without Christ must repent of their sin in order to be saved, in order to come to Christ. They must understand the gravity of their sin. That's exactly what Peter is doing here. He is explaining to them the great sin that they have committed, that they have rejected the Messiah, the sent one, the promised one, the very Son of God, the one who had came to deliver them from their sin. They had rejected him, delivered him up, and instead of taking Christ as their Savior, instead of taking Christ as their God, they decided to have Barabbas, who was a murderer, granted unto them. By the way, that's a good sermon right there. In that so many people, they reject Christ and instead they claim the devil, as the Bible says, was a murderer from the beginning. In the same way that people, they reject Christ and instead they take the way of the devil in the world instead. They want a murderer granted unto them instead of the very Son of God. And this morning, look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 7, in that God promises to hear those that are repentant. The repentant have mercy with God. If you are here today and you're not sure that you're saved, I want you to listen very closely today. There is hope for you. There are so many people that I have talked to and said, you can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness of sin, repent of your sin, and be saved. They say, no, you don't understand. It's too late for me. It's never too late for anyone that you can come back and be saved. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We can't put limits on God. We can't put God in a box. And some people say, well, they've sinned too much and they can't be saved, and they've gone too far. I don't think anybody can go too far to where Jesus cannot save them. There's no person in the world that cannot be saved. There are people that will not be saved. There's a big difference. They think they cannot because they believe the lie of the devil. Do you know it's the devil that says you can't be saved? It's the devil that's saying to you, you can't be saved. Just continue the way you are. There's no hope for you because he wants to keep you in that bondage of sin. He wants to keep you in that place. And it is the will of God for a sinner to repent. We look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 12 in the Minor Prophets. Look over there. We'll look at some Old Testament references to repentance. Many times we look at the New Testament references. Those are good as well. Also, we'll be looking at Ezekiel 18 in just a moment. So Joel chapter number 2. So this morning, repentance is essential. There are many people today, and unfortunately many preachers, that say, well, repentance is not necessary for salvation. Well, Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also other places, except you repent, ye shall in no wise see the kingdom of God. Well, in order to be saved, we need to repent. Joel 2, chapter 2, verse number 12. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. That is chapter number 1, verse number 12. Great verse, not the one we're looking for. Chapter 2, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Ezekiel 18, verse 31. I'll read that very quickly. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? All of these references are in references to Israel's sin. The most common sin among Israel was the sin of idolatry. They went after the false gods. They went after the false gods and the false teachings of all the nations around. And they left off. They no longer followed God. They no longer followed after the God of Jehovah God, and they were judged because of it. There was discipline brought upon them by God, and that there was a way back. Over and over again, God pleaded with them, if you would just turn from your sin, if you would just change your mind about what your sin is, that your sin is not a good thing, it is a bad thing, it is a destructive thing, it will destroy you, turn from it, and I will forgive you. To be honest, that's the message of the Bible. Amen. That man turn back to God and repent of their sin. You can be saved today. Repentance is not man's idea. Ever notice that? That's not man's idea. It's God's command. It is God's idea. It is not our idea, because really, isn't it really true that when we have children growing up and they're fighting, or maybe they're fighting with someone else, and you know what? You tell them, well, tell them sorry for what you did. Tell them for taking the toy or splitting your head open, whatever it is. You need to come and you need to apologize to them. And you're like, sorry. And then what do we tell them? Say sorry and mean it, right? Have it genuine from your heart. Don't just say it, but have it be a genuine repentance from the heart. I've done something wrong. I must come and ask for forgiveness. This is what Peter is doing with the Israelites, that they had done something wrong. They didn't think they had. They thought they had just killed another blasphemer. They thought they had done the right thing. They thought they were doing fine. But in the end, they were sinning greatly against God. They killed the very Son of God. Remember, now Jesus laid down his life willingly. God could not have his life taken from him by force, but he willingly laid it down. But still, it was still God's will for them to accept their Savior, to accept their God. But in the foreknowledge of God, he prophesied that they would not, that they would reject him and that they would kill him. But it was still a sin to do so. They had to change their mind about some things. And that's what happened at Pentecost. They changed their mind about what they thought about things. They changed their mind about their sin. And it resulted in an action of coming to Christ. And that's what we see in the preaching of Peter and Paul. It was always bringing to a decision, changing their mind about what their sin is, helping them realize that their sin was destroying them and that it will send you to a real place of fire and torment called hell. It's real. That's not a figment of imagination. It's a real and literal place. You look at God's word and you see that heaven is real, and the blessedness and the glories of heaven, but hell and the horrors of it are just as real. And because of our sin, we are destined there. There is no way for us to redeem ourselves out of that. There's no way to pay for our sin to get out of that except through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is man's only hope. It is the only hope that any of us have. And he came and bled and suffered and died on an old rugged cross so that we might be saved. This is what, when we go out soul winning, we don't just go out to see someone pray a prayer. Amen? We just don't want them, well, pray after me and then you're saved. No, there needs to be some repentance in their heart and understanding. Now, let's look here. There's the repentance of a sinner is rooted in three basic principles. The first being understanding. Number one is understanding. Look at Matthew 13 and verse number 15. And if you look at Acts chapter 3, we're not turning there, but just think about it for a moment. That's exactly what Peter's doing. Peter is bringing understanding of what their sin is. What is sin? He is bringing understanding to them. He is helping them understand what they have done and showing them the consequence of it. Matthew 13, verse 15. Now, if you think about it, that the Jews had taken, falsely accused Jesus, had lied about the very Son of God, had seen him crucified, and maybe they were thinking, well, there's no way back for us. That's it. It's over. There's no path. I mean, we saw the very Son of God killed, and we rejected him. There is no hope for us. But that's not what Peter says. You need to repent. Repent, and you can be saved. It needs to be an understanding. Matthew 13, verse 15 tells this, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, or their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, eyes, and hear with their ears. Man, I'm just messing this one up. See with their eyes and hear with their ears. I don't think I've ever seen anybody see with their ears. But anyway, see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts. That's very important. I'll pause there. Understand with their hearts. They see. Now, you don't have to see in order to get saved, but to hear the Word of God and understand it. Have understanding in their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Amen. That when we get to this place of understanding that we are a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person in here who has never sinned. Not one. There's not one person in Killeen that has never sinned. There's not one person in all of Texas that has never sinned. There's not one person in all of the United States of America that has never sinned. There's not one person in all of the world that has never sinned. The only person who never sinned was Jesus Christ. He was a man, 100% God, 100% man. That doesn't make 200%, but that makes him the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. And he lived a perfect life, never sinned, the only human being ever to do so. So, well, Adam and Eve didn't sin. Well, actually, they did. That's called the fall. Amen. They were not created in sin, but they fell into sin. And everybody ever born ever since is a sinner. And you know what? It doesn't take a whole lot of education for us to understand that. Why do people do bad things? Because they're sinners. Amen? Because we have a sin nature. And that's exactly what we have to understand. And because of that condition, there is never going to be a way that we're going to attain to the high and holy perfectness of God. God is without sin. There is no sin in God. He is perfectly holy and perfectly pure. And even if you've sinned one time, there's no way for you to purify yourself from that. There's no way. We are hopelessly stained with sin. But through Jesus Christ, we can be clean. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Amen? We're so glad of that. The hope that we have. So the first principle is understanding. Do you understand that you're a sinner today? And do you understand for the wages of sin is death? We look at Revelation 21, we see the second death, and that is being cast in the lake of fire, and that all those who are sinners, and we have a list of sins, and it says at the end, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Know that every single person here has told a lie at one time or another in their life. Just from that, plus many more things that we're all guilty of, we have our place in the lake of fire. That's the condition that we are in. And they said, Pastor, that's scary. It is. It's a terrifying thing. You know what we hear today? That, well, we shouldn't scare people. We couldn't scare people. I'm sorry. If you are sitting in a doctor's office and you are told that you have terminal cancer, that's going to scare you. There's no way around that. And when we look at the terminal cancer of sin, the spiritual condition that we are in, it does scare us. It said that I have no hope, but thank the Lord we have Jesus Christ. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope there, and we need to be understanding that we cannot save ourselves. The second principle is humbleness. Humbleness, Matthew 18 and verses 3 and 4. Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Unless we understand and say, well, I understand you're saying I'm a sinner, and God's saying I'm a sinner, but I don't think I am. That's pride. If God says you are, then that settles it. It should anyway. He said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then we see our condition, but then we need to be humble enough to say, yes, that is my condition, and I can't save myself. I need something. I need to be saved. From what? From sin, from shame, from turmoil, from grief, in the pit of hell. That's what we need to be saved from. We throw the word saved around so much, but I think we do some good to sit back and realize what that means. Salvation is being saved from our sin, from our grief and shame and agony. That so many people, they are looking for something and they take their life because they cannot live with the consequences, or they can't live with things that go on. Very high-profile man that was in jail, was all over the news, committed suicide. Why? Because of the consequences that were going to come of his sin. That's what sin's going to lead you. That's what's going to happen. There's hope. There's hope. There's too many soldiers that commit suicide in here in Killeen, Fort Hood, Texas on a weekly basis, sometimes even on a daily basis, because they have no hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how too much, well, I'm at the end of my rope, there's no hope for me. That's the lie of the devil. There is hope for you. Humbleness. I said, I need something. I can't do it. And then number three is honesty. Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 22. Looking a lot at James chapter 1, we've been memorizing that. Want to encourage you to keep going with that. It is hard to do 10 verses a week. I was planning on it, and I got sick. See, I got an excuse. I got sick, and we had a yard sale and everything like that. You know, just life happens, but just keep being faithful with it. James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do you know how many people that they hear a message like this? They hear a message like this. They read a tract. They hear a message like this. They hear, they understand. They said, I know I'm a sinner. I understand that. And I know I need Jesus, but I'm not going to do it right now. I understand all of that. I mean, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. You know in your heart you need Jesus and you want him. And you say, but I'll do it later. Be a doer of the word. If Jesus said he's going to save you and he's drawing you and he's convicted you of your sin and you're in a hopeless condition and you are one breath away from either the splendors of heaven or the pit of hell, depending on who your Savior is, not where you go to church, not what you got baptized by, who you got baptized by, or what good work you did today, it's based on whether or not you have Jesus or not. So while I believe in Jesus, you can believe and still be going to the pit of hell. A lot of people believe, the devils believe in Jesus. And they're not going to heaven. They believe and tremble. But guess what? A lot of people believe in Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. I just know. I've had so many people tell me this. I mean, probably hundreds of people. I said, are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Oh, yes, I know I have Jesus. And I know he's there. I just know. I said, well, how do you know? I just do. Have you heard this? Yeah, we all heard this. Well, I just do. So was there a time in your life when you, I've always known that Jesus, he's just here in my heart. I just know he's there. I just know. That is not salvation. That is not salvation. That having a good feeling here is not salvation. Coming to Jesus with a repentant heart and confessing your sin. I think I'm running out of battery again. All right. I don't know what's with these batteries all of a sudden. They're dying on me in the middle of the sermon. Maybe it's because I'm preaching too long. But there. Yes, Pastor, you know, hurry up and finish the sermon. But right here, isn't it just like the devil, the most important part of the sermon? Microphone goes out. Isn't that just like, well, I'm just going to shout louder. But anyway, I'm just going to get loud. I have that feeling in my heart. I just feel it. No, coming to Jesus and admitting your sin and calling upon Him, that is salvation. And not just salvation for today, that's gone tomorrow. Eternal life. Back on. Won't you repent today of all your sin, of your pride, of your affronts to God? Romans 10, verses 8 and 9 tell us this very, very clearly. You can be saved today. Repentance is simply this, a change of mind, realizing your sin is not as good as you thought it was, realizing where your sin is sending you. And because of that, you're going to go to Jesus, and you're going to have a deep sorrow and regret for your sins against God. To change one's mind about your sin. To change your mind about your sin. Because sometimes we're going along and say, well, my sin was fine. I mean, I didn't think I was that bad of a person, but then the conviction of God comes. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the conviction of God. Nothing like the conviction of God. And you can't escape it. Doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the deepest part of the earth, and that conviction's still going to be there. You go to the farthest reaches of outer space, it's still going to be there. Doesn't matter what you do, it's still there. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What does that mean? You just don't repeat a bunch of empty words and you're saved. It comes from the heart. That's why the title of this message is Repentance from the Heart, not just from your mouth. You can say anything you want from your mouth and you don't mean it in your heart. But if you mean it in your heart, it'll come out your mouth. Interesting how that works. You can be saved today. Don't delay. Number two, the second type of repentance is the repentance of the saint. The repentance of someone who was already saved, for the Christian. Just because we're saved, does that mean we don't sin? Doesn't mean that we don't get tempted to sin. Now, to be tempted to sin is not sinful, but when we fall into sin, we decide to turn away from what we know it's wrong, and we do it, and we're in sin, and the Lord convicts us about it, and that we need to repent of our sin. But you know, even though you're saved, you can still be proud and hold on to your sin. Hold on to it. Well, I don't need to change. Many times it's painfully obvious that we're in sin, but we should not go out of our way to sin, but we set ourselves up for judgment if we do. We set ourselves up for discipline. When a lost person, you notice something, lost people don't get disciplined by God because they're not His children. But those who are saved, you are of the household of faith. God promises that He who He loves, He chastens them. And there's going to be consequences. But here's an interesting synonym for repentance is this, is brokenness. 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 Does our heart break when we sin against God our Father? Does it break our heart? Does it break your heart? Maybe you have a relationship with someone. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your parents, whatever it is. But that you know when you've done something against them, that it breaks your heart. And when our heart is broken, what happens many times? Something happens to our eyes. It's something that we don't see a whole lot of anymore. But something happens to our eyes that our emotions become involved. And we cry and weep. You look at the Old Testament. We were looking at Nehemiah this morning. You know, when Nehemiah heard the condition of Israel and heard what the consequence, what he was really burdened about was this was the consequence of sin. Was the consequence of sin. And it wasn't even his personal consequence, but it was a consequence of his people that he went and he prayed and he wept and mourned certain days. He had a broken heart over the sin of his people. It wasn't even his. It was the sin of other people. And he was broken, and he prayed to God and asked for forgiveness on behalf of his people. When was the last time you asked God for forgiveness on behalf of our nation? It should break our heart to see what is going on around us. We just see it so often that it doesn't bother us anymore. To see the murder of unborn children in our nation, to see the great sin, just not even that, just to see the devastation of people's lives. People that say, well, I'm happy, but you know they're not. There's three examples in the Bible of brokenness. I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to read the verses, but one of them was the Ninevites with Jonah. That Jonah brought a message of judgment to them that they were going to be totally destroyed by God in their sin if they didn't repent of their sin and turn to God. And guess what? Everybody in the city got saved, even the king. They all got saved. They repented and they wept and they mourned and they were broken because they had never heard this before. They had never heard that they were accountable to God. And they came and they were saved and they turned back to God. They turned to God. They who were pagans, they turned to God. They gave up their idols and they gave up their sin and they were saved by God because they were broken. And Luke 15 is another example, that of the prodigal son. He came back, he went out, and he sinned. This was a picture of a saved person. This is a picture of someone who is saved, is in the Father's house, and says, I'm going to go do what I want. Give me what I want. Give me. And he asked his Father, give me what is owed me, what I would get if you were to pass away. And, you know, also, we pause there for a moment. You know what he was saying? Dad, you're dead to me. I want my inheritance now. Dad, you're dead to me. I don't want to be in your house anymore. You're dead to me. I'm going to go do what I want. Rebellion. Oh, rebellion will lead us to say things like that and make decisions like that that are sad and devastating to families and to other people. But he went out and he went into sin. He lost. He had all these friends because he had money, but then he spent all his living on riotous living, on harlots, prostitutes, and all kinds of partying. And when he didn't have any money, guess what? All his friends went away. And then he found himself feeding hogs in a pig pen. Now, he was a Jewish young man, and that's an abomination to a Jewish person to be involved anything with pork. And that this is the time of the Levitical law. And he found himself there. He said, then he came to himself. He had understanding. Understanding came to himself, and he realized there was a famine in the land, and he said he was going to eat the husks of corn just to survive, and he thought to himself, and he said, how many servants, the servants, not just my brother or my family members, but the servants, that they have enough meat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I said, this isn't worth it. I will go back to my father and I'm going to tell him I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned against God and I've sinned against heaven. I have done wickedly and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And he came back and he said, I'm going to go back and I don't even want to be a son. I just want to be a servant. I just want to be, ask if my father will take me back. And then he goes back, but the Father is there. This is a wonderful picture of God. Amen. The Father was looking down that road, and when he was still a great way off, he ran, and he met him, and he kissed him, and he fell down in front of his Father, and he was going ready to recite his speech that he had prepared. He didn't get even all the way through it, and his Father said, I forgive you. He said, stand up. I'm going to put my clothes on you. We're going to kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate because my son that was lost is now found. That's how God views his children. That's how God views a lost person when they're coming to him. That's how God views a Christian. We have this idea of God that we have to sit and we have to beat ourselves up and we have to beat ourselves up and we have to beat ourselves up just so God will turn his eye down at us and say, yeah, I guess I forgive you. That's not the picture of God that we find in the Bible at all. He wants to forgive us and he wants to restore us. Amen. He wants to cleanse us from sin. And then we see the last example is in 2 Kings 22, that of King Josiah. How he had not heard the law of God, and when he heard it, he rent his clothes and he mourned, and that they were violating the very law of God. He didn't know it. and they return to serving God. Here are the steps to repentance. Pride confessed. That's what gets us into sin in the first place, our pride. Second, sin confessed and repented of. Third is humbleness embraced. Fourth, then sin is removed as we come to God, and holiness reestablished and our spirit is strengthened. Amen. That's the process right there. That's how we get back to a place. Let me ask you something here this morning. Just be honest with yourself. Don't have to raise a hand. But if you're a Christian, are you miserable this morning? Are you sitting here and you're miserable and you look like you ate a lemon this morning? And you're sitting here and every time you come to the house of God, you're 15 minutes late. And you come in and you don't open a Bible. You just say, I can't wait to be out of here. You leave 5 minutes after and I can't stand you. You got sin in your life. There's sin there. So, Pastor, I didn't know that. I've been there. All of us have. Let's be honest. As a pastor, I've never, ever been like that. I think you need to repent of the sin of lying. Okay? Because, we've all been there. We've all been there. Why stay like that? Why stay like that? We don't have to. We can be joyful again, and we can have that spirit in our heart. But there's one thing that the first step is the pride confessed, and that you have sat in pride and sinned in pride and won't get right in pride. And that's the number one step, and that's the hardest one people have a trouble getting by, their pride. You know, and I'm so glad that we have the Bible and that Christ is our high priest. Because, you know, some people at different times come to me and say, Pastor, I've got to tell you, I've got to confess my sin. And so, don't come to me. You need to go to God. Trust me. I don't want to know about it. You need to tell Jesus about it. He's the one that can forgive. I can't do anything about it. I can pray for you to have the boldness and the strength to call upon the Lord, but I can't forgive sin. Only Jesus can. But this morning, are you saved? You say, Pastor, I'm not. You can be saved this morning. This morning. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, how you can repent of your sin and be saved. It's not some magical prayer you pray. It's not a magical formula. It is a humble person realizing their sinful condition, calling upon a holy and just God to save them, and He promises to do it. Amen. It's that simple. Salvation is really rather simple. We're the ones that complicate it. Are you backslidden today? If you're here and you're miserable in your sin, you're backslidden. So, I'm not back. We think that a certain amount of time has to go by to be backslidden. Not necessarily. Can be in a moment you're working for God, in a moment you're going backslidden, you're back. You can repent today from the heart and be restored. You can be saved, you can be restored this morning. What decision will you make? I said, I'll think about it. If you think about it, you'll never do it. Just do it. Make a decision and repent before the Lord today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for all that are here. And Lord, the most important decision anyone can make is whether or not they accept you as their Savior. And Lord, these ones that you had Peter preaching to in Acts chapter 3, they had rejected you, but Lord, you gave them an opportunity of your might, great mercy and grace. And Lord, you're giving an opportunity to sinners today to be saved. And I pray, no matter how young or old, dear Lord, if any here today are not saved, that they would be saved today. Lord, I also pray for the Christian that perhaps is backslidden, has fallen into sin, and knows it, Lord, and they have been spoken, you have spoken to their heart today. I pray that they would come to you in their humbleness, and you want to restore and give joy and blessing again. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would do that today. Bless this invitation time, and that your people who are called by thy name, that we would humble ourselves and pray, and be broken over the sins of our land, the sins of our family, as Nehemiah was. And Lord, you did a great work because of that. We want to see revival come, but it begins within the heart of every person. And I pray that you would spark that in our hearts and in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we rise to our feet this morning. The most important question that anyone can ever ask. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? And if your answer is no today or I'm just not sure. An opportunity is going to be given here this morning. The most important opportunity that can ever be presented with. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you be willing to have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be? I'm going to show you the same verses I spoke to you this morning and showed you and give you an opportunity for you to call upon Jesus for salvation. And we'd have the boldness here today to say, Pastor Burbeck, I'm here today and I know that I'm not saved. Now, I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. Every head bowed, every eye closed is a private moment. Who would have the boldness to say, as a pastor, I know that I'm not saved. Will you pray for me? Please, I need prayer. Will you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right here? Now, I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you or point you out or anything like that. As I'm not sure that I'm saved, please pray for me. Is there someone like that here today? Just slip your hand up wherever you are. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Amen. Put your hand down. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Some have had the boldness to raise their hand. Anybody else? Anybody else today? The question for the Christian. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but is there sin in your life? Is there something you know you need to repent of? Will you just get it right today and have that joy be restored? Don't walk away in your misery and shame and grief. Let the Lord restore you this morning. Now, I have very specific instructions this morning. If any have raised their hand this morning, I'm going to be at the front. Here at the front of the, right in front of the altar. I encourage you to come and shake my hand. And I'll hand you off to a counselor where you'll go privately to a private place where you can hear well. And with a man, lady with a lady, whatever the case may be. And they'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. And you can accept Christ today. And you can have eternal life that no one can ever take away. Have that peace that you have been seeking and that joy that only God can give. And know for sure that you're on your way to heaven.